All right, everybody, and welcome to StadiaCast, your things for all things Stadia. I'm Bill. That's not right. I'm Lloyd. There's no Bill today, everybody. So welcome to everybody in the chat room. Welcome to everybody listening in at home on podcast land. My name is Lloyd Hannison, and this is StadiaCast. Bill is not here today. Bill is not feeling well. Sorry, I'm just getting out of my audio. For some reason, my audio recording isn't working. So, that's going to be the first of many bugs today, I'm sure. Bill isn't here today. Bill is actually very, very sick. He's doing better, though. No one get panicked. No one worried. Bill has COVID. So he is feeling pretty terrible. The good thing about that, and he let me share this on the air, he's double vaxxed. So things are way better than they possibly could have been. So I just want to say a huge, hey, Bill, get better. Everybody give us some cheers and thumbs up and get well, Bill, in chat. We'd love to see that because, he's not doing too well. Just talking wise, he can't like spit out more than a couple words without hacking and coughing. So he's doing fine, just not fine in the talking side of things, which is important when you're podcasting. I don't know if you all know, but when you podcast, you use your voice a lot. So maybe that is bad. But anyway, let's get into Stadia. This is, as we said, your thing, your source, rather, for all things Stadia. Before we get started, we record this show live every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern at nerdnest.tv. You can support the show many different ways. Of course, just being here is the best way you can support us. But if you want us to talk about a question or a thought or a comment, you can do that through Super Chats. That allows us to make sure that we see your message. We respond to every Super Chat at the end of the show. You can, of course, join this channel and become a member. You just have to hit join. You can hit subscribe. You can do all the fun YouTube things. And if you're not watching live, if you're watching this on a repeat, just showed up in your YouTube list and you're watching it, you can support us through the applaud button, which is, they used to call it super thanks, I believe. Now it's called applaud or applause, where you can actually send us a message and clap a little bit while you're watching the video. So I think that's it. We're going to get into the show. We're going to be talking about a lot of news. We didn't do a show last week. Instead, I did a Far Cry Let's Play on YouTube. But this week, we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff. It's going to be tough doing this show as a one-person episode. I haven't recorded the show by myself before, so if I get into the weeds, if I go off on some weird tangent, be sure to let me know what I'm doing in the chat, and we'll get back to normal. So I guess without much further ado, let's get into the show. I've been playing a lot of Stadia. In fact, if you we're looking at my play history, which I did just before. In fact, I wanted to bring it up on screen, but I realized that my browser that is tied to my OBS, I'm not signed into my Google account, so I can't show you. But just let me tell you, I've completed 66.667% of Far Cry 6. So that includes all the side quests, all the collectibles, all the takeovers, all the challenges, all everything. I'm sticking to just kind of doing the side stuff right now. Not a lot of the main campaign. I don't want the game to end, but I want to complete all the things. So it's been a heck of a lot of fun. I looked at my playtime. It's about 60 hours, and I'm like, how in the living heck did I play 60 hours of Far Cry 6? And that for a couple things, I wanted to say that for a couple of reasons. First, the game is so good that you forget that you're playing it for a long period of time. Number two, I was off last week. So between making content and playing stuff across different platforms, New World, I finally jumped into New World and played a bunch of that as well. But I had a lot of time to play Far Cry 6 last week, and I didn't realize it was as much time as I actually spent. 60 hours, that's just a ridiculous amount of time. But I am such a huge fan of this game. As I said, I've played pretty much every Far Cry game. I haven't played Far Cry 1 and 2, but 3 all the way to the end to Far Cry 6. I've played every entry. I've enjoyed every entry. And 6 has to be one of my favorites for many different reasons. I love the world that you are driving around in. This kind of island paradise with old cars. I think I've said this before, maybe during one of my streams. I watched a couple documentaries on kind of what they're doing in Cuba with like old vehicles and keeping things working and all that stuff. So I was like really interested in kind of the idea of not just buying new stuff all the time, but fixing and coming up with improvised methods to repair all the old stuff. And then they included all of that in this game. So it's been just such a fun experience going through and playing it. There are some issues, of course. The one thing that I really, really, really wish you could do is summon a helicopter at any time, like you could in some of the other Far Cries, because there is a lot of travel in this game. You're to go from one end of the map to the other would take a long time for you to drive or walk. But there's, like previous Far Cry games, there's the ability to go to one of the bases that you control, and you can actually do kind of like jump out of a plane, and then you can immediately open your parachute or your wingsuit if you've unlocked both those things to kind of travel super far. But it would be really, really nice if you could just hit a button and someone would fly in with one of those little mini helicopters that you unlock pretty early in the game. But other than that, that's about my only complaint with the game. I mean, it's an Ubisoft open world game, so there are a lot of issues, just weird things that happen. And that's not a fault of the game. That's just the way that the open world stuff does. So there'll be weird bugs, like you jump out of a helicopter on the ground, but for some reason there's a rock and your foot hits it and then you fly off sideways and die. Like just little things like that, which are really fun and really, really bizarre. So if you're looking for an amazing time with really fun multiplayer, the multiplayer in the game, there's a video here on Nerdnest where you can see Bill and I doing some of the co-op stuff that's built into the game, the additional missions, not just the main story campaign stuff. The game is so much fun. I unlocked a super secret special Supremo that isn't one that you buy in the game. You have to do a bunch of different challenges. I'm not going to spoil it, but it's kind of like mystical, magical, we'll say. Very similar to previous Far Cry games where you unlock something that it just doesn't seem like it has a foot in our reality. So I unlock that one, and that really kind of changes how you can clear out bases and things like that. Spoilers, you can shoot through walls for a short period of time. So there's all that crazy stuff that is in all the Far Cries, including just amazing acting from Giancarlo Esposito. He plays an amazing bad guy. Just kind of everything. PCRA in the chat room, or PCRAY in the chat room, what challenge starts this mythical Supremo? I believe you have to unlock all of the animals in the game. So you have to get all the buddies. I believe that's how you start it, if I remember correctly. I'll check out with you or check up with you later, PCRAY, and let you know kind of how to do it. But there's this mythical Supremo that is just really scary. Oh, wait, no, it's not the animals. You have to get these crystal skulls in the game. So you find a crystal skull, and then you have to find three different statues, I think it is. So it's a pretty long quest line. You have to do three separate challenge dungeons, I want to call them, I guess, where you go there and you have to figure out the way to get the idol. And I said that it's related to some other things. You maybe don't even need to do that other stuff, but that's kind of how I got to it. And you find those three different idols. There's three main sections of the island. You find one in those three main sections. And then when you return them, you get, this mythical Supremo and, the, last pet. So it is kind of part of the pets, I believe, but different. So anyway, there's so much stuff in the game. I've played, as I said, 60 hours. There's still probably 20, 30, 40 hours of content left in this game that I haven't beaten, haven't completed, haven't played through. But what an amazing, amazing, amazing game. I'm so glad I'm playing it on Stadia. The one thing I wish, of course, like everybody else that's been playing this on Stadia, I so, so wish that this game was 60 frames a second. Because as it is right now, it's 30. It is a very, it's a very smooth 30. Like, it doesn't seem to be dropping frames. So you have a pretty solid locked 30 frames a second. But little things like animations, like cutscenes and cameras turning a little bit, you really notice that 30 frames a second. 60 frames a second would be so much. Even if you're limited to like 2K resolution at 60 frames a second, even if they couldn't do 4K 60, just having that 60 frames a second would make the game that much smoother, which would be really nice as well. So yeah, that's kind of Far Cry 6. I've been playing just a metric ton of this game, and you can check out my live streams that I did. You can check out Bill and I doing co-op and some other things. But I've been playing some other stuff as well. Falconeer, I jumped in and did a first look of Falconeer. It's really good. If you haven't played this game before, I believe it's available on Xbox Game Pass. It's on PC. It's on a Nintendo Switch. It's on a bunch of different platforms, but it's finally here on Stadia. And the best part about the port to Stadia is it was fully re-engineered from scratch, essentially, to get the engine working at just a beautiful 4K 60. It is amazing. It is an amazing flying game. So on Falconeer, if you're not familiar, if you haven't watched my first look or seen any coverage of what Falconeer is, you are in this world that is covered by water, but there's little islands that are jutting out of the water. So you're basically on these big birds, falcons. It looks like there's some other birds. It looks like there's almost like a pterodactyl that some of the enemies fly around in. And you're doing challenges in all these different islands. So you're talking to people. They want you to go kill 5 blimps or go shoot down 5 blimps. So you go shoot down 5 blimps and come back and you get currency. Then you can use that currency to upgrade your bird. You can upgrade your munitions, carry different weapons and things like that. There's a large story campaign where you're flying across this huge, 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 huge map. Mind you, most of it is water, so it's not like it's a big open world map where you're going across big fields and hills and things like that. It's water with islands. There's pirates, there's enemy birds, there's commerce that happens between the different factions on here. So maybe there's some stuff that has to do with that, where you have to keep everybody happy if you want to upgrade everything. I've said this a lot on the show. I love flying games. It's one of the things, if I've had a bad day at work or just having some issues where I just need to like veg out and relax for a little bit, I immediately jump into a flying game. A lot of times it's The Crew 2. A lot of other times it's other flying games. Flying is just so relaxing to me. And this is flying with guns. So while that might not be relaxing to some people, this world is so beautiful. It's very stylized, almost cel-shaded in some areas. It looks like you're flying through just through a mythical world and doing dogfighting. If I had to describe this game by relating it to another game, there is a title that I played way back when the OG Xbox came out. One of the first games that was really big on Xbox Live. Not Halo, of course. Halo was, of course, huge, but that's Halo. That's its own major pillar of the whole gaming industry. Halo, everybody knows what Halo is. But there was this lesser-known game that was a cult classic, and a lot of people enjoyed it, called Crimson Skies. This game makes me just think of Crimson Skies. I played so much online Crimson Skies against my friend. A bunch of us would jump into that game constantly. If we weren't in Halo Deathmatch, we were in Crimson Skies Deathmatch. And the Falconeer makes me think so much of Crimson Skies. What a beautiful game. So that is available on Stadia right now. You can get it in the regular edition, or I believe it's the Ultimate Edition that includes all the DLC that has come out for the game. So you can check that on Stadia as well. And of course, wanted to remind each and every one of you listening or watching that you can currently play Riders Republic for the next week for free. There's a free play session, so you can jump in and you can play the full game, but you only get 4 hours. There's a little timer that ticks down, so you can't play the whole entire game and complete it, unless you can complete the game in 4 hours, I guess. And this is in preparation for the release of this game that comes out on the 28th. So if you are a fan of kind of the Ubisoft sports games like The Crew, or Steep, I think was the other one. Was that an Ubisoft game or a Microsoft game? I can't remember. There's another game that that Ubisoft worked on where you had skiing. This game has bicycles. It has wingsuits. It has skiing. It has a bunch of other stuff. And it's essentially just a open world sandbox for you and your friends to get in and just do just crazy, ridiculous stunts in this game. So I played about a half hour or so of the free trial, and I like it. I like it. I don't know if this is a game that I will pick up. I think a lot of this game is focused on multiplayer content. So if you are someone that gets online and plays a lot of just different games with your gamer crew, this might be a game that you'd want to pick up. For me, a lot of the time, I use gaming as a way to unwind, and I unwind by not playing with a big group of people. I just like to sit there, take my brain out, put it in a jar beside my bed, and just veg out and play some games. So it seems like this game would be way more fun if you primarily play multiplayer. So I'll probably check it out. There's a lot of different ways to do it with Ubisoft Plus, of course. I'll check it out and I'll play around, but I just don't think the single player modes in this game is going to be enough for me. While I would play multiplayer every once in a while, it wouldn't be the primary way that I would play this game. So your mileage may vary there, but I'm playing the trailer in the background, and there's snowboarding, there's skiing, there's biking. And it's really kind of weird because you'll see at any part in the game, you'll be flying in a wingsuit and there's people below you riding a bicycle, or there's people on top of you skydiving, or there's people that are skiing beside you. It is just ridiculous fun. I also believe that this game is only 30 frames a second on Stadia, so your mileage may vary there as well based on how you like to play your video games. But this game just looks like a zany, ridiculous, fun way to get in and just play around and party with your friends. So this is coming out on the 28th. So just wanted to throw out a reminder that the game is coming out. But not only is the game coming out, it's available to play for anybody on Stadia that has a Stadia account. You can jump into the free trial. It runs a week from yesterday, I believe. So whatever that date is at the end of it, it will end, and then you can play your 4 hours, see if Riders Republic is a game for you. Then, of course, after, you can buy it, or you can check it out on Uplay Plus or Ubisoft Plus, and you can get in and do that as well. So questions for everybody in chat and everybody below. I know Bill likes to put up polls and things when I'm talking, but there's no Bill talking right now, so I can't put polls up to see if anybody's buying it. So if you're going to pick up the game, or if it's a game that you're very interested in, let us know. Type in the chat, leave us a comment, do all that stuff. David Rodriguez in the chat room saying they're supposed to have a Zen mode. I'm gonna have to look into that as well. As I said, I've only played about a half hour. Wanted to check it out just so I could talk about it on the show, because that is important. And this is going to be a big one for a lot of people out there. They really like these kind of social party sporty games. And this is going to be a big one for a lot of people. And it looks like crossplay and everything is there. So it kind of really doesn't matter where you're playing this game, it seems. This is going to be a lot of fun as well. So let me just take a sip of my coffee. And there we go. And let's get into the news. So chat room, everybody that's watching us live as we record it, everybody that's listening as a podcast obviously can't do that. But let us know in the chat room what you're playing, what you're excited for. And we can definitely start chatting about that stuff as we get into the rest of the show. All right. Well, let's move on. Not a lot of big Stadia news from Stadia directly. They, in fact, didn't do a This Week in Stadia this week again. So I was kind of wondering what was happening. There's some stuff from last week we'll go through, but then there's also a lot of stuff that is that has come out after as well. So let's first get into it. First up, Google has given this to everybody, every account. So a lot of the new features that come out to Stadia are sort of released a little bit and slowly. So you'll get the access sometimes before your friend as they slowly roll these things out. But they're changing the capture experience. So while not just an incredibly huge, oh my God, this feature is going to change the world, there's some other ways to kind of clean up your captures. I don't know if you're like me, but when I'm playing on Stadia, I accidentally hit the capture button all the time when I'm looking for the hamburger button. So I go to hit hamburger, my finger slides off the right stick, and I hit capture. So I have just a crap ton of screenshots that are black screens or menus or other garbage that I'd love to get rid of. But it was really annoying to go in and click one and then hit delete and then go back and click another one and hit delete and go back. Currently right now, again, I would show you if I was logged into my Google account on my browser that I'm showing on screen. I am not, so I can't show it live. My apologies. Noticed that like seconds before we went live, didn't have time to log in. But if you go to the capture screen now, when you hover over a screenshot or a video, instead of just being able to click play and view it full screen, there's a little check mark, a little little kind of ghosted check mark on the top left of that screenshot. So if you go to that screenshot or video and you click those little check marks, those are selecting them. So it's a multi-select. You can select a bunch of screenshots and then you hit the delete button at the top right, and we'll actually clean out all of those super, super quickly, which is a really good thing. There are limited space for screenshots and videos. It's an incredibly large number, so the likelihood that many people have hit it is unlikely unless you're someone that takes a lot of screenshots for review and stuff like that. But this is just a nice little quality of life feature. Not a huge news item, not, oh my God, Stadia is destroying the competition because of this. But I love to see these little quality of life things that pop up every once in a while, because it is definitely important to make your user interface better and more usable for everybody that wants to use your platform. So this is a new feature, which is really great. But then there's some other things as well. There's new games. So even though we didn't get a This Week in Stadia, if you go to the Google Store right now, or actually to this morning, there's more. But if you went a couple days ago, you went to the Stadia Store, there were new games, even though Google themselves didn't tell us about it. So Child of Light, which is a really fun game from Ubisoft. It's a little role-playing game. I played this way back in the day on like PlayStation 4 or something when it first came out. You play Aurora, a young girl from 1895 Austria, awakens on a lost fairy tale continent of Lemuria. To return home, she must fight against the dark creatures of the Queen of the Night, who have stolen the sun, the moon, and the stars. It's a really fun game. It's kind of a side-scrolling RPG with a really cool kind of, it's almost like a watercolor art style to it. It's a heck of a lot of fun, and it's a really, really great role-playing game. And the best part about Child of Light, if you want to pick it up right now, it's available for like $5, which is kind of ridiculous. There's a regular edition and the ultimate edition, which basically just gives you some additional customization options, and that one is on sale as well. So I'm gonna change. I'm on my friends, our good friends over at Stadia Source, for this news item. If you're watching, I can't remember how to change my currency on here. I think you have to log in to do that. So this is in British pounds. So it's like £5.39 for the regular edition, and it's £8.79 for the Ultimate Edition. That is almost the same as the US dollars. But if you get it, if you're a pro member, that drops a little bit of that price again. So this is a really great game. Are you playing Child of Light? Let us know in the chat. We'd love to hear from you. But besides Child of Light, we have Heist Simulator. So this is a game that Google showed off a while ago, and it looked really fun. Heist Simulator is dropped as an early access game, so you can pick it up right now for around $10 or so. And basically, Heist Simulator is a way to do heists and make heists. I don't know if you can do a heist. I guess you participate in a heist would be the better way to put it. Yeah, you create heists and you go through and try to steal the things. But of course, you can also make your own worlds that people have to then attack and go through right now. A lot of people in chat room are saying, where's Bill? Bill's sick. Bill's not here today for the episode, for people that are just coming up late on the live stream. So yeah, Bill's not here. It's a solo show for today. So yeah, Heist Simulator available in early access. You can check it out now. Pick it up on Stadia for around $10 and get and create and share your own heists and play heists that are that have been created by other people. I definitely want to check this one out. Haven't had a chance to right now. I'm going to look into it over the next little bit, I'm sure. But this is another early access game. So we have Baldur's Gate. We have that singing game that I always forget the name of it in early access. And now we have Heist Simulator in early access, amongst some other games as well. So it does seem like developers are using Google's early access program to great use, I guess, getting those games out there, getting people play them, and getting the feedback so they can make the game that much better. I believe Ember has just, One Hand Clapping. Thanks, Anthony Garcia. That's the singing title that I keep forgetting the name of. I believe Ember has left early access because that's available on a bunch of different platforms as well. So the program is definitely working well for everybody that needs to use it. So yeah, Heist Simulator is available right now. But then just recently, I believe this morning or yesterday, we got two other stealth drops. These are some more children's games or games for the young at heart. So if you are a fan of Ben 10, you can now pick up Ben 10 Power Trip on Stadia for around $25. And the same with Peppa Pig, my friend Peppa Pig. So if you have really young kids and they like watching Peppa Pig all the time, you can now have Peppa Pig on your screens all the time. And I'm sure that will be a good thing to parents everywhere. Probably not. But two more games. Really fantastic to see all these titles coming to Stadia just randomly without blog posts. You know, it's a good thing when your platform is getting to the point where there's too much to talk about, that they can't put out a blog post for every game that is coming out. That means you're in a good space. And that is a really, really good thing. And then besides Ben 10, Power Trip, and my friend Peppa Pig, if those aren't games that you're into or excited about, you can also check out Dragon Ball Z Kakarot when it comes to Stadia. Why am I getting random notifications? People are... That is really annoying, actually. I'm going to turn down my system volume. People, I don't know if you can see it on the screen, but this one person is inviting me every 5 seconds to play Minecraft. And apparently I don't have that turned off on my PC. You can't see the little pop-up, but man, this is going to really, really annoy me. If I had someone else here, I would have them ban this fool for doing that. Anyway, Dragon Ball Z Kakarot. Jem, I don't want to play Minecraft with you, man. Maybe after the show, we'll do that. So Dragon Ball Z Kakarot is coming to Stadia, according to the official Dragon Ball Z blog. You can pick it up on October 26th when it comes out. And you'll be able to do that as well. I'm going to clear all notifications and I'm going to see if I can't ban this fool because this is a really, really terrible thing for someone to do. It's not there. I can't do it. I'm going to do that after. I'm going to be really annoyed for the rest of the show. So if I'm grumpy, it's all because of a gamer 5329. So that is really annoying because it's covering up part of my screen every 5 seconds, which is great. Dragon Ball Z Kakarot will be available on Stadia October 26th. So that's this coming Tuesday. And if you're not familiar with Dragon Ball Z, what Kakarot is, it's a Dragon Ball Z role-playing game. I'm not a huge fan of Dragon Ball Z Kakarot or Dragon Ball Z as a whole. And not because I don't like the idea of Dragon Ball Z. I haven't watched a lot of it. I watched kind of the original series when it came out, but I haven't watched any of the newer stuff. And when Kakarot came out, it was always a game that I wanted to jump into just so I could learn more about Goku and all the other people from Dragon Ball Z in this really amazing role-playing game by Bandai Namco, with just an absolute ton of content and characters and things like that. So if you're a big Dragon Ball Z fan, you'll be able to pick that one up really, really soon. But then they did a community blog post next up on Stadia with Dragon Ball Z, but also this really interesting game called Mad Streets that I had never heard of before. Mad Streets is from Craft Shop Arts Incorporated. It just has a release date of soon, and it looks like it's a fighting game, but it's a physics-based fighting game. So you can see the only screenshot that they're showing is just a random dude picking up a basketball and throwing it at someone else's face. And they're fighting in a backyard, and there's like hot dogs everywhere and ketchup and mustard and all this other stuff. A physics-based fighting game where you're getting in and beating up your friends. I kind of want to play this one. I had never heard of Mad Streets before. Don't really know what Mad Streets is, but man, I really, really want to get in and play this game. So this will be coming. It features Mad Rush mode, random matches, rumble mode, one punch. There's a stadium smash and grab, and you can do all that stuff. So I'm sure we'll learn more about this as things come in, as the game progresses. But I really, really want to get in and play this one because it looks really interesting. So I don't know, anybody out there, is anybody playing or planning to play this game? Let us know in the chat room. Mad Streets just looks kind of ridiculous. I obviously not a game that I've heard of. I've said that before, but this is intriguing. We only have one animated GIF to really talk about. So, I don't know if it's going to be that good when it comes out or that interesting, but just the thought of playing a physics-based fighting game. I've played a lot of games like Octodad and the Goat Simulator and a bunch of those other kind of weird physics games, but a fighting game, it sounds like a lot of fun, so you can check that out. And then of course, I had this up here if you're not familiar with what Kakarot looks like. It is a full-on RPG, but more than just being an RPG, it has kind of like the cutscenes from the movie, or from the TV shows, rather, and movies. So you can really learn more about the Dragon Ball Z universe, if that is what you want. Of course, if you come to Canada, you have to call it Dragon Ball Z, just throwing it out there for everybody to learn about. So Dragon Ball Z Kakarot is coming to Stadia on, the 26th of October, so next week. So you'll be able to check that out. All right. This is going to be our last story. Pacing for the show might be a little odd. This might be a shorter episode than you're used to, just because not doing a solo show a lot, it's hard to fill the full hour. But we got news earlier this week that AT&T was giving everybody the ability that was a member of AT&T, a current AT&T wireless subscriber, to be able to come in and play Batman Arkham Knight. And everyone's like, what? How does that work? So you'd basically join up, you'd use your web browser, and you can jump right in with whatever controller you have and play play Batman Arkham Knight. So everyone was kind of wondering what was happening here. When that happened, everyone was just kind of like, okay, where is this coming from? And then in digging into some of the features, some people found out that indeed this is using this is using the white labeled streaming service from Stadia. So this isn't a Stadia game, but it is a game that is running on Stadia through this weird AT&T partnership to allow people to jump right in and play Batman Arkham Knight. So what does this mean? People are in the industry, or in the community rather, they were really kind of confused at the start as to what was happening with this game. They're like, well, what does this mean? Does this mean that you have to have a Stadia account to play this? Does this mean that you can't play this game out of a web browser without a Stadia account? This is kind of just something entirely different. So instead of having to go to stadia.google.com and then sign into your AT&T account and link it, this is something that is existing completely separate from the Stadia service. So when you're using this, you don't even know that you're playing on Stadia. In fact, you can't even use a Stadia controller when you're using this one, because there's no way to do the cloud Stadia controller linking, because this is completely separated from your Stadia account. So everyone was kind of wondering, is this actually Stadia? People were kind of digging in. They were looking at where the data was coming from, so they could tell that this was coming from Google servers. They were pretty sure that this was a white labeled Stadia game, but they dug into it. And then friend of show and person that was spamming me with Minecraft invites, Jem, basically said that he got access through our friend John Scar to see where this data is coming from. And then when he went in to go through all the JavaScript to see where all the data is coming from and some of the other stuff, Jem actually found that there were actual Stadia references inside this. So it is 100% a white labeled Stadia game that you can get access to as an AT&T subscriber. I'm in Canada. We don't have AT&T up here. I can't use this. I'd love to check it out, but I can't. But what this could mean a bunch of different things. When Bill and I have chatted about white labeling before, and basically what we call, what a lot of people in the industry calls, what everybody in the industry calls white labeling, is essentially, I'm a big tech company, I make a service or I make a product, and I'm selling it to my consumers, and maybe I don't have as many customers as maybe I want. So I have the ability to have more of whatever this thing is sold or used. So I go out to other companies and I say, okay, look at this great service that we've made. We can sell you access to the service. You can put your own skin on it. People won't know that you're using my great tech service, and you can sell it to your customers. So me as a business owner, Google in this instance, gets more people using their service. They get money from all these other contracts, and it builds more and more utilization and usage of your platform. So this isn't this doesn't mean necessarily that Batman Arkham Knight is coming to Stadia, but it is running on Stadia, if that makes sense. Really kind of confusing. But anyway, back to Bill and I chatting about white labeling in the past. We assumed that this would be used by, say, Electronic Arts. They would make EA Cloud, and every EA game would be playable in the cloud, and it would be using Stadia servers and backend and all that fun stuff. But what that would mean would be every EA game then would also be available on Stadia. It looks like this is a little bit different because this game has not been announced for Stadia. We don't know if it is ever coming to Stadia. So this could be an example of a company that is using Google services, Google Stadia online cloud gaming infrastructure to send a game that they have the rights to. I guess AT&T is partnering with WB because they own a big stake in all that content. They're using IP that they own, and they're releasing it for their customers. So this could mean a lot of different things as we go forward. This could be a full WB Games cloud infrastructure that is completely separate and I don't know, it exists entirely outside of the Stadia universe. A lot of people were asking questions about this, like, how is this game running? Is it using the Google Stadia porting toolkit that Google talked about at Google I/O? For just a refresher for everybody out there, that allows you as a game developer that has a Windows version of Game X. So I've made this game. It's on Steam. It's on Epic Game Store. I have a PC version of the game that runs on PCs. Well, I want to run it on Stadia. Stadia uses Linux. So immediately you have a problem. Your code won't compile for Linux. There's a lot of differences. I'm also using DirectX. I'm not using Vulkan. So how does this all work? So the Stadia porting toolkit will basically encapsulate and wrap your program. It'll take all those DirectX calls and it'll translate them to Vulkan calls. It'll take all of your weird PC stuff and it will translate it to Linux stuff. And it kind of runs kind of in the background. If you're familiar with our podcast here on the channel On Deck, we've been talking about Proton for a while because that's what Valve is releasing along with the Steam Deck, to basically make every Windows game in the Steam store playable on Linux, because the Steam Deck runs SteamOS 3, which is based on Arch Linux, and I believe it's Arch Linux, and it obviously is not running Windows. So all the DirectX, all the Windows calls, all that stuff won't work. So they're using Proton to kind of encapsulate that and do the translation. So when you do a call for, hey, Windows, how much memory do I have? It says, we're not running Windows. Hey, Linux, how much memory can this executable address? So it does things in the background like that. So that was our assumption for Batman, that it was just running in that way, that it was basically just the Windows version quickly ported over using this toolkit. And while we don't know for sure if that's the case, an AT&T representative was asked by 9to5 Google. Great reporting on this by 9to5 Google, by the way. There's been a bunch of different articles about the whitelisting stuff, and they've all been pretty fantastic. So AT&T representative was asked, what is the Batman Arkham Knight demo? What is it? Is this something new from AT&T? Obviously, we know it's Stadia. AT&T came right out and said, this is being powered by Stadia technology. For this demo, AT&T created a front-end experience to enable gamers to play Batman Arkham Knight directly from their own website, and the game is playable virtually on any computer or laptop. And then later, there was an update to the blog post. AT&T has also confirmed that the version of Batman Arkham Knight that AT&T is offering is actually running on Linux under the hood, just like every other game that runs on Google Stadia. So Batman Arkham Knight is running under Linux. That doesn't mean that they're not using the porting toolkit, because if I take a Windows game and I encapsulate it in a wrapper, a translation layer to make it run under Linux, it technically is still running on Linux. It's not running on a PC server. It's not like Google is firing up a bunch of Windows 10 boxes or Windows 11 boxes in the cloud. So that doesn't really answer our question, but it kind of leads us down the path a little bit more. And then, of course, they were asked, are there going to be more games? And AT&T came out and said, AT&T is collaborating with gaming technologists like Google to help usher in the next era of gaming, making access easier for consumers and allowing content to travel and reach more fans, all enabled by streaming and network technologies. So between the two quotes from AT&T, which one do you think was fully written by PR and which one was just someone talking off the cuff? I think the second one is completely a PR thing. So yeah, this is really, really interesting, and this is exciting for the industry. So, or for the Stadia part of the industry, because ever since Stadia Games Entertainment was kind of run down. So there were still bits and pieces that were still being worked on, but the actual let's create new, unique gaming experiences for this platform was kind of stopped. Everyone's like, oh my God, Stadia is dead. And then Google started talking about white labeling, and everyone's like, oh my God, okay, well, Stadia is gone then. They're just going to white label all this out. What this really shows us is that white labeling can be two different things. It can be a service that just runs completely separate from Stadia. Google's getting the money. They're getting the big AT&T check. to use their service. AT&T loves it. They're using their IPs. They're adding value to their current subscribers, and Google is just getting a cut of whatever licensing deal or whatever money was worked out to use all of their services. So that could be one part of white labeling. And then the other thing is for white labeling is it could be the EA thing that I talked about before. If in the future, obviously this isn't confirmed and this isn't something that has ever been talked about that I know of. But say EA comes out with EA Cloud, releases all their games on Stadia, and then has their own cloud website that people can subscribe to. That would be another way that white labeling works. It helps Google because, of course, there's another partnership. But then it also helps the normal Stadia.google.com players, because a lot of more content will be coming to their service that they use. So there could be many different ways that white labeling comes out. This is just our first example that we know of. Who knows? There could be other examples that have been used by marketing companies in other parts of the world. This is the one that we know about. And hopefully what this means is down the road, we get the Batman Arkham games on Stadia, because the hard work of porting it over has been done. But we'll see. We'll see. As it is right now, if you're an AT&T user and you've used the service, let us know. What do you think of the service? Leave us a comment below on this YouTube channel. Send us an email. Join our Discord, nerdnest.tv/Discord. We would love to have you. All right. I think that is it for the news. I don't have any way to bring up super chats. We're going to get into the crowd play section. So my apologies. Again, this is the first time I've done a solo version of StadiaCast. So a lot of the things that I would just expect to be there, I didn't set up in advance because I've never done it before. So of course I had to do this before. Didn't have time to get it all set up. So my apologies. So the first super chat is from Anthony Talcott. It was a $5 super chat. Thank you, Anthony. I think I read somewhere that some game companies are using Stadia's cloud service for their own games, but not porting the game to Stadia. Thoughts? Perfect super chat, Anthony. You threw it right out there right when we were about to talk about it here on the show. I think I covered all of my thoughts on white labeling, but it's exciting. Again, who knows if in the future Arkham Knight is going to come to Stadia. Maybe for right now it's going to be limited to the AT&T thing that they're doing, but down the road it'll be available for purchase maybe. Who knows? We don't really know until someone from AT&T or someone from Google comments. We're not sure. But I really hope that this white labeling stuff that they're working on will become that in the future. I'd love to play Arkham Knight again. It's not the best of the Batman games, but man, this kind of changed the... It's a game that changed the superhero genre of video games for the better. Before, superhero games were quick licensed cash-ins, and then Arkham Knight came out and really just kind of changed the industry. We wouldn't have had the Insomniac Spider-Man game if we didn't have the Warner Brothers Batman Arkham games. So it's a great, I don't know, nugget of the gaming industry. One of those gold nuggets that you're panning for gold and you find. It's one game that really did change the way that games are played. So I would love a whole new bunch of people to be able to play this on Stadia, because then it's available for everybody. But we'll have to see what AT&T has planned. So thanks, Anthony, for your super chat. And the next up was from Burger Bear. Larian Studios announced this week that the reason Stadia didn't get patch 6 was because of poor performance. Other cloud platforms are beating Stadia to the punch with hardware upgrades. Thoughts? Burger Bear, $10 super chat. Thank you so much for that, Burger Bear. Appreciate you. And that is a great question. So I wanted to talk about the Larian Studios thing. I just didn't know what I could really say about it. So we'll talk about it a little bit here before we get out of this episode, or we end this episode. So they came out and they said that there's performance issues, and that can mean a lot of different things. In gaming right now, in the gaming dev industry, there's still a lot of issues with COVID and a lot of people not being at the office. So a lot of just walk over to Bob's desk and ask him a quick question. Now is, okay, walk into Slack or Discord to ask Bob a question. Oh, Bob's working weird hours. He's working his shift later. Okay, I have to wait 4 hours to get my response. Okay, I got my response, but that delayed me 4 hours. Damn it, Bob. that those types of interactions are happening across the industry. We've seen a lot of developers talk about things like that because they have some people working remotely in the States, some people working remotely in the UK. The days don't line up all the time. Sometimes that adds to some delay and confusion. So the game not performing that well on Stadia right now, it doesn't mean that it's necessarily Stadia's hardware that is at fault. It could be whatever code that they put out there isn't optimized for the Google Stadia platform yet, or it really could mean that they are running into the theoretical limit of what the Stadia Blade can perform. I find that kind of hard to believe based on the tech specs that we learned of multiple years ago. Google Stadia is very fast. Its GPU is right up there with the current generation of hardware that is out. So it could just be it's more a we didn't have time to get this working 100%. We want to release this to everybody else because getting the feedback from them is really important instead of delaying this update 6 so that it can be on every single platform. So I really hope this isn't the sign of things to come. Back to the second part of your question, Burger Bear. What the hardware upgrades? They've been beaten to the punch with hardware upgrades. Well, we got leaked to us from a developer the fact that there are faster blades. So what is that? Kieferfer is saying it's last gen. Current gen is ray tracing and 120 frames per second. Well, there's many ways you can talk about gens. Ray tracing doesn't mean gen 8 or whatever this current generation of gaming is. Ray tracing is a feature, just like surround sound is a feature, just like 1080p is a feature or 4K is a feature. The GPU performance of the Stadia Blade is right up there with the current GPUs that are in the Xbox Series and the PlayStation 5. And that is one way to kind of measure your hardware against other hardwares. At the end of the day, who cares? Lining up numbers together doesn't always mean anything. But yeah, Stadia is using modern hardware. They just don't have, built-in ray tracing support. But that could be a software fix, not necessarily needing new hardware. Anyway, back to Burger Bear's question. So we know about the fact that upgraded blades exist. We don't really know any more details. That was back in the day where we had Superhero John Justice. I don't have the echo that Bill uses when he says Superhero John Justice, who has since left Stadia Games or Stadia as a whole. We don't have that news from Google. They're not talking about upgrades anymore. In fact, Google, since this leak happened and a bunch of other things, they've come right out and said, we're not talking about future improvements. We are going to talk about them when they happen. So newer, faster blades are released. We'll learn about it on the day that they're fired up and games are taking advantage of it. We got some huge upgrade news for GeForce Now. There's a new tier with 3080. It's ridiculous. If you check out our video, GeForce Now leveling up with the new 3080 tier that I put out earlier this week, that is a huge upgrade for GeForce Now. We saw xCloud got upgraded with Series X blades, essentially. So instead of using Xbox One blades in the cloud, they're now using Xbox Series blades in the cloud. So what that means is that the games look better, they perform better on Xbox xCloud. But we really haven't heard anything from Stadia. Are they doing hidden upgrades in the background? I would guarantee they are, because that's how companies work, especially if you if you're selling games to consumers and then you're also trying to sell the platform to partners through white labeling, you definitely want more performant hardware available so that bigger and better game experiences can come out to your platform. So yeah, it's really, really interesting, Burger Bear. I want to dig a little bit more into kind of the blog post from Larian. I read it through and I want to read through it a few more times before I really fully formulate my opinion. But to me, this just seems like they ran out of time. They have a time frame. They wanted to get all these patches out because they have an end date where they want the game to come out. I'm sure it's been pushed a few times, but they have a date that they're targeting that they haven't told us yet. And getting patch 6 out so that people could play it on other platforms, give their feedback, get closer to the final iteration and closer to launch. I think this was a necessary thing for them to do in that regards. As for people that are Stadia players that own the game, that is a horrible thing to find out. So I bought it on this platform and I'm not getting the latest and greatest. What the hell? So we'll have to see where that all kind of comes and goes. If this is going to be the first time that this happens and the last time this happens with Baldur's Gate. But it is disappointing for the people that were really excited for it. For me, I played patch one. I played 5, 6, 7 hours of it. And then I said, you know what? I don't want to play early access and lose my save game every single time. I'm going to put it on the shelf and I'll come back to it when the full version comes out. So this doesn't even affect me, but it does affect a lot of Stadia gamers. So I do hate that this is happening. So Burger Bear, thanks again for your super chat. We appreciate you. And you know what? I think this is going to about do it for this episode of StadiaCast. Thank you for joining me. My first solo episode of StadiaCast. Hopefully it's the last time. Again, I want to say a huge get well soon, Bill. We can get some get well soons in chat and stuff like that. He's feeling a lot better, but man, COVID is a pain. And even when you're double vaxxed like he is, it can take you out. But thankfully he did have the vaccine in his veins. Otherwise, this could have been a lot worse for him. So, get well soon, Bill. So, yeah, that's going to about do it for this episode of StadiaCast. Thank you everybody for coming out. Thank you to all the amazing people in the chat room, keeping me honest and, dropping hints and things to talk about. Appreciate you, the awesome Nerd Nest community that comes out each and every time that we do a show here. So yeah, that's going to do it for me. Take it easy, everybody. And we'll talk to you here next time on StadiaCast. Have a good one to everybody. Usually Bill throws it to me, so I know that part really well.